PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Whoa, Drew!
I don't know if I caught that or not.
You did.
There's a slight delay when you record and you're like, all right, it's the same. Guys, welcome to episode... We can always call it like 274.5. Some shows do that. We're not doing that. Guys, welcome
I
know. It's not a half episode. We're giving you a bonus episode. Movie news, spillover movie news. I'm with Drew Sikogren. Drew
Sikogren. For Crespo.
There you go. Let me see. God damn it. I get this fucking Yahoo's trying to
send you somewhere on a free vacation.
Yeah, they gave me some bullshit. Get this fucking shit out of here. You're messing my... All right, here we go. Movie news. We didn't do a bonus episode last week, and we talked only a handful of stories last weekend, so I have a lot of stories to talk about. I think the biggest story, Drew, is this whole battle of wills between the Cannes Film Festival over in France and Netflix. Big battle. Big battle, Drew. Here it is. It's kind of... I don't want to say complicated, but there's a lot of moving parts here. So in France, you know how here in America, North America, no, really America, movie comes out in theaters. 90 days later is when it pops up video on demand for home consumption, right, outside of movie theaters.
Yes.
That window used to be bigger. It used to be back in the day like 6 months. It shrunk over time. Now it's 3 months, and movie exhibitors are really, the theaters are really trying to hold fast on 3 months. No, we don't want to shrink this anymore. Netflix is all about making shit available day and date. They want it to be available everywhere. Let people decide. France, their window, 36 months. 36 months for stuff to be available. I don't know if it's for home video or for streaming on demand. It may be... just for on demand.
Gotta wait.
Maybe I think it's on demand.
Are you fucking 3 years. Kidding
they
me?
Don't. They don't want, if a movie comes out in theaters in France, they don't want it to be played on via on any sort of video on demand service for at least 3 years. Which means any movie that comes out now in France won't be available on Netflix France until 2021.
Wow.
As well as Canal Plus, they have their most successful subscription platform in France is Canal Plus.
Well,
apparently,
of course, because it's their own. It's their fucking TV channel.
Exactly. And they have maybe 33% more subscribers than Netflix France. And just behind Netflix France by like 2 or 3 million subscribers is some other like European, like a French-based company that also has an online service. So Netflix is right there in the middle, right? Okay, so they have that law going on. The Cannes Film Festival, they just changed the rule there. Their rule is that movies that don't play theatrically in France can't be submitted to their French film festival. It is their film festival, right? They can do whatever they want. So if it doesn't play theatrically in France, can't play in a theater. Netflix movies, they can't play in France because they're going to be available immediately on their service.
So they can't go to Cannes.
So now they can't go to Cannes. Well, no. Cannes said Netflix movies can't be in competition, but they can still play, but they won't be considered incompetent. They have their competition section, and then they have their, like, and then this is the other stuff. You know, all film festivals do that. For some reason, Netflix is like, no, fuck that. Like, our films are in competition like they were the last couple years, or we're pulling all our films, and guess what? Netflix pulled all of their movies. That includes movies by Jeremy Saulnier. They have his new movie, the guy who did Blue Ruin and Green Room.
Won't be playing at Cannes.
Alfonso Cuarón's new movie.
Will not be playing at Cannes.
Paul Greengrass, who did the better Jason Bourne movies and like Green Zone. No, what's the one though? Bloody Sunday. The biggest kicker, the biggest kick in the pants of any movie should be playing at the Cannes Film Festival and not just relegated to at-home viewing. The new Orson Welles movie, The Other Side of the Wind. We really haven't talked about that on Cinema Crespo.
Yeah, no.
Orson Welles has a movie that was his last movie he was working on, and he was working on it for like 20 years, and it's like it was incomplete. They still have the film, the footage. They had all his notes, so some people put the money together. Actually, they crowdsourced a lot of the money to finish it, and Netflix came in, and they paid for the rights, and they helped pay to finish the production, so it's a Netflix movie now, technically. Orson Welles, I don't know. He would spin in his grave if he wasn't so fat and just yeah. Froze the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that movie now won't play. It won't play at the Cannes Film Festival, The Other Side of the Wind.
Oh, well.
So it's pretty wild. The Cannes Film Festival lineup was just announced today.
Yeah.
Some interesting movies. And there's some interesting directors left out. Some people submitted and didn't get in. It's always interesting, you know, the politics of those type of big film festivals, especially now that we're doing the Florida Film Festival as we
speak. Well, it sounds to me like Cannes needs to get with the times, or they're going to lose relevance.
Yeah, that's the argument. Do they need Netflix? Does Netflix need the Cannes Film Festival? I think there's an argument that they kind of need each other for the whole system to continue thriving in a progress in a positive way.
If they want it to work the way that it's been working, Cannes needs to get over their shit.
But it's not just Cannes; it's also. Like I said at the beginning, the French film marketplace in general, which is a very large marketplace and very influential to cinema over the years. Mm-hmm. Just think of Godard, Truffaut, whatever French names are fun to say.
Uh-huh.
And, they have a pretty big place on the world stage when it comes to movies. And
art in general.
Art, exactly, 100%. They've had for as long as they've been doing stuff, mm-hmm. right? As long as they've been making cheese, they've been creating great art over there. So they have a lot of say as to the cinema, the talk about movies, going to movies, what is a movie, what isn't a movie, you know. They're a big player in that debate.
Those
and the Cannes Film Festival is
blurring more and more every day, Chris.
So blurry, man. That's what I was thinking as I was watching episode 2 of season 2 of Legion. Like, I'm like, man, the show is so cinematic and awesome and cool. And then spoiler alert, the most mind-blowing part of episode 2 of Legion is when it got to the very end, and it's directed by Anna Lily Amirpour, the chick who did Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
You're just like,
I was like, No wonder it's so good. That whole con Netflix brouhaha is wild stuff. All right, here we go. Let's talk about stuff that is happening. Emily Blunt confirmed... Like, I mean, we've already been talking about this, but she confirmed Tom Cruise was like, yo, we're doing Edge of Tomorrow too. And she's like, all right,
cool.
I'm in, I want to do it. That they have a great idea for a sequel.
I was about to say,
very fun, exciting idea. Exactly. How do you do it? If you've seen the movie, how do you set it up? It's a very closed story with a very singular concept. How do you do a sequel that's not just going back to the well? How can you make fun and interesting?
No, they both have the power. Lame!
Right, exactly. but Tom Cruise and Doug Liman have both been like, talking a lot about how they have a great idea for the sequel and they're super excited about it. Neither new sequels. Tom Cruise is all about that Mission Impossible life. Has he done sequels other than Mission Impossible? He's working on Top Gun 2, but that's been in development for years. Has he done any other sequel? Interview with a Vampire 2. Remember that one? Electric Boogaloo? That was a weird one. There were BMX bikers. It was an 80s movie. It was strange. Right? I don't think outside of Mission Impossible, Jack Reacher.
Oh, yeah, Jack, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, never go back.
Never go back. You should not have gone back, apparently. Stick to the Mission Impossibles.
And there was no Werner Herzog as the bad guy.
Oh, man, so he is so good. I don't know why I'm here. I got paid to read this dialogue.
Thank you, Werner.
They took away my fingers.
Thank you. Thank you, Werner. You did a great job. Exactly what we wanted.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap on Warner. Thank you very much. I'm going to be at catering.
No, exactly. See, when it comes to Werner Herzog, it's like Jeff Goldblum. I just want him doing him. Like, just don't fuck around. Just do you, man.
That's what Taika Waititi said. He's like, just do you. Just do you. Just write dialogue, but do it as you. It's like, oh, I was hoping he'd say that.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Clicking on the next story. Story 2. Antonio. I have like 15, 16 stories, so we're going to power through some of these. Antonio Banderas seems to be...
An old man.
He's 57. In The New Mutants.
Okay.
part of the reshoots they're doing, mm-hmm. including new characters. It seems Mr. Banderas is one of them.
Cool.
So that's pretty interesting. I wonder what they're doing with that New Mutants movie, which keeps getting pushed back.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking a lot about movies getting shifted around here. That just happens with these things, you know. Speaking of X-Men movies, so we got New Mutants, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Part of that, the shifting was, clicking on it here. Oh, no, that's a different story. Never mind. Cut that story. I'll cut all that. I'll cut all this out. Next story. Still staying with comic book movies, though. Mm-hmm. Joaquin Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Someone asked him, like, would he be willing to do a comic book movie? Mm-hmm. I think the person asking this forgot that he was in the running for Bruce Wayne / Batman back in the Batman Begins mm-hmm. days. It was him, Jake Gyllenhaal, Christian Bale, obviously. Cillian Murphy, who ended up, no one was like, I like you so much, I want you to be Scarecrow. Mm-hmm. And what's his name? Joe Manganiello. That was the first time I ever read that dude's name. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
That's the dude that's and Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, now, yeah, they're living happily ever after somewhere together, I'm sure.
Bastard.
Hey, you know what? Some people just win at life, Drew. Those are the players. We're the AI. They're the players who, like, those are the ones who are winning, and we're the AI who's, like, we're just running on our patterns, and, yeah.
Shitty pattern.
But we, at least we know about it, though. We're aware of our prison.
Doesn't mean I have to be happy about it.
No, you don't have to be happy about it, but you can be aware of it, though. You can be, as the kids call... Joaquin Phoenix talking about being in a comic book movie, and this makes sense. I could see him saying this. I see this any other movie. I wouldn't say I won't do Westerns. It depends on what it is. I don't really care about the genre. I care about the character and the filmmaker. If you have the ability to transcend the genre, then that's what you want to do, et cetera, et cetera. The rest of this paragraph is just pretty much the same thing.
So he's like, yeah, I'll do a Logan, but I'm not going to do Fantastic Four.
Boom. Boom. Unless, like, you show up with, like, a Fantastic Four by, this like...
what?
Like, what's a...
Darren Aronofsky's Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what's a Ryan Coogler equivalent? Yeah, exactly. It's got to be something like that. For example, something like this interests me, all right? Woody Harrelson, not exactly the type of guy that, you know, seemed to be willing to jump his hat into the CG... put it on motion capture suits, let's play superheroes type of guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's fucking Woody Harrelson. He doesn't need that shit.
He smokes a lot of weed.
He smokes a lot of weed. I feel like you smoke a lot of weed, that makes you want to be less into, like, now I'm going to show and put on a leotard with dots on it.
You'd be surprised.
I guess if you can really dial in the type of weed that you're getting. They are in California. It's legal over there. Anyway. All right, let's take all that into account to consider the fact that it appears to be Woody Harrelson is rumored to possibly play maybe... the Carnage character in Tom Hardy's Venom.
Cool.
So we got Tom Hardy v. Harrelson.
Okay.
Comma Woody.
I'm cool with that.
Tom v. Woody?
Sure.
Who you got? Who you got in real life?
Tom?
You think so? Woody's a big guy.
Dude, Tom Hardy is...
Tom's a small guy. He's like 5'8".
But he's...
It was a camera of forced perspective, seriously, to make him look big and Bane.
Well, that's Bane. That I get, but even in all the movies... like
He does seem to have an intense energy to him.
A, intense energy, and B, if he needs to, he can put on the weight. I mean, we've seen him do...
Oh, if you're going to give him time to prepare? Two questions.
Because we have seen him do Bronson.
Yes.
We saw him do... what was that stupid fighting movie where he was hooked on the drugs?
Warrior,
and Bane.
He can get Jack and juice if he needs to.
Huge!
Yes, he can. But Woody Harrelson is a larger gentleman. I say if you give him time to prepare... Yes, Tom Hardy will take it because he's younger.
Even still, Woody Harrelson's old.
I think if they were in a bar fight, it's pretty even. Harrelson, he's not that old. Remember,
he was out of the
furnace. He was a bad guy in that.
Oh yeah,
he's fucking intense.
Yeah, but
whole movie, Woody Harrelson has a similar kind of like intensity.
But
to
he
him.
Still, he looked old as shit in Three Billboards.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Well, he had to.
He was really pulling that cancer thing.
His character was dying of cancer. Yeah, well. I mean, come on. Anyway, well, he's going to be what's his character? Cassidy? He may be this Cassidy character. The serial killer who gets his own little bit of symbiote. And then we got ourselves a anti-hero Venom. There you go. I know you don't seem too on board with all this. From the director of Zombieland.
It all has potential. I'm not going to be sold until I see... I mean...
It's a good trailer. An actual trailer.
I mean...
Gonna be like, that teaser is bullshit.
the Spawn movie was a great idea. And they showed John Leguizamo was the clown, and it looked great. Mm. And then you watch the movie.
In motion, it looks bad.
Pile of shit.
Yeah, and still, it's like, oh, that's good.
Yeah,
in motion,
exactly.
Looks bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen
it
that
could,
happen.
Could be the same thing. I mean, the movie's going to be heavily relying on CG for the symbiote.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It all depends on how many fucking passes on that render machine it gets.
Yeah, how much money do they have to put into it? It's R-rated. It's not going to be that much. So...
I'm putting all these things out there.
Speaking of...
Just putting it out there.
CG. Characters heavily relying on CG. I don't even know what the context is here, but someone talking to the one and only Nicolas Cage... A trail as Ghost Rider.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Now, it's interesting, if you go back and look at the Ghost Rider movies, the first one, whenever he turns into the Ghost Rider, it's not Nick Cage. It's a completely CG character. Not even motion capture. It's completely CG. Then when you watch Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, which I think is
the better one.
Definitely better, 100%. And actually...
Almost a good movie.
Almost good. It is. Yeah. Almost good is exactly the way.
It's like Punisher Warzone.
I would say Punisher Warzone is...
It's right there. It's almost good.
I would say Punisher Warzone is a good trash film, and Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance is an almost good trash film. Like, they both occupy the same genre of trash, and just because it's trash doesn't mean it's not fun or entertaining, right?
Yeah. Punisher Warzone is a lot of fun.
Sometimes people want trash.
Dude, they throw that guy in the fucking glass grinder. Right in the beginning.
Yes. Up top to let you know what's going on.
Yeah, right in the beginning.
Let's know, hey, this movie is going to be fucked up. And also, a lot of neon. It's a fun movie. It makes me want to rewatch it.
I know, right?
But I also similarly really enjoy scenes in Ghost Rider, but there's also scenes that are boring as hell.
Well, yeah.
That needed to be like Punisher Warzone. This is where Punisher Warzone, for me, gets on the scales of justice, goes up a little bit. It's rated R.
Yes.
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, should have been.
PG-13.
Yeah, should have been.
That's where that really fails. But according to Nick Cage, this is what he says about the Ghost Rider movies. I think that when the Ghost Rider movies were happening, Marvel hadn't quite gotten the entire process worked out yet. And now they have, and they know exactly where to go and what to do, and it's working beautifully for them. You know, Ghost Rider was a movie, he does say it, that always should have been an R-rated movie. David Goyer had a brilliant script, which I wanted to do with David, and for whatever reason, they just didn't let us make the movie. Of course, whatever reason is money. The reason is money. Heck, Deadpool was R-rated, and that did great. Ghost Rider was designed to be a scary superhero with an R rating and edge, and they just didn't have it worked out back then. He goes on to say that he feels like they should do it, they should pull the trigger on an R-rated Ghost Rider movie, and obviously he says that it should not... It's not with him.
I mean, yeah, it could be a lot of fun.
It should be fun. It should be bonkers. They were going for it with Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
They could even go back and make it, you know, the original Johnny Blaze, where he's a fucking stuntman that makes a deal with the devil.
That's what they did in the first movie. That's what they did in the first terrible movie done by the Steven Summers, a terrible filmmaker.
Screw that. Make it a throwback. Make it a 70s grindcore.
That would be fun. Yes. Yes. Like an Evel Knievel equivalent.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be so cool. Yeah. Exactly. Do something like that. R-rated.
All grimy and gritty.
And, And take the approach that they did with making the second one, in which you can see the difference in Ghost Rider, the character Ghost Rider in the first one and second one. And the second one, he's like, the way he's twitching and all weird and shit, he's fucking
possessed by a goddamn demon the way you're...
But Nick Cage is like, alright, well, I guess I won't play possessed by a goddamn demon. And he
fucking sold it.
He sold it. Not only that, but he showed up on set with, like, his face painted all... Because he knew they were going to CG his like, features out. So his face was all painted crazy, and he had, like, chicken blood on him. I don't know. He was just going all wild and had, like, a voodoo stuff on him. He went to, like, witch doctors. Was like, what do you got? He went to New Orleans. What do you guys, can you sell me? And he's so crazy. And then he showed up on set with that, and people were looking at him like, this guy's fucking nuts.
Yes.
This is how he's going to do this movie?
Yes.
And then he did the movie. So when you see people have a horrified reaction, they're actually horrified. Nicolas Cage is being
good.
Goddamn Gonzo. He's a Gonzo actor. I think he's underappreciated. The theme of this episode, underappreciated. Nick Cage and... to a degree, that Ghost Rider movie. They were going, it was the Crank guys. It's an inspired choice to give Ghost Rider to the crank guys. Like, that's a good idea. But then you don't let them make an R-rated movie. You should just, like, make the movie you want to make. No, instead you have him do that. Then you have him do Jonah Hex. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to wield that power.
Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex could have been so good.
Should have been amazing. But it was so terrible. It was the opposite of amazing.
Even Mastodon flopped on the soundtrack.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? actually, this was just the stuff that we cut from all of our other albums.
And then we just gave it to these guys.
We just gave it to them. We got paid for it. You know, this guy's got medical bills from the time that System of a Down dude almost killed him. Mm-hmm. So, Men in Black, we talked about the fourth one. They're making it with Hemsworth and Haddish?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what you said.
That's awesome. Hemsworth and Haddish. Man, what if they're the new Abbott and Costello? What if it's that amazing? According to the director of the first three, Barry Sonnenfeld, the guys know, you know, he's been around the block. He says, the producers and I don't really get along. It didn't seem like it was something any of us wanted to do. That's in reference to him coming back to do a fourth Men in Black movie. So while he made three of them, it seems he always clashed with the producers while making it. You know, mm-hmm. That can be a contentious... It is... The producers are trying to make the movie like run on time, on schedule, stay under budget if possible, not spend too much money. He's the artist. He's just like, let me make my movie, man. You know, that type of thing. Did you ever see the third one with Jermaine Clement as Boris the... Oh, what was his name? They had a crazy name like Boris the Killer or something, and it was like, it's just Boris.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Caught it on TV.
Caught on TV. Josh Brolin's doing Young Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
I think it's a good movie. I actually really enjoy it. I've caught it a few times on FX, like parts here and there. And it's always like, I have to leave to do something. I'm disappointed. I want to finish this. Damn it. Anyway, that's why Barry Sonnenfeld didn't come back. Barry Sonnenfeld started his career in the late 80s as the Coen Brothers director of photography.
Oh, nice.
And he shot Blood Simple, Raising Arizona, and I don't think Miller's Crossing. What was the other one up there up front? It's the first two or three movies he photographed for them. And so that's why all those movies have like a very similar look. And then when he went on to become a director, their movies changed, looked slightly. Mm-hmm. But and then they worked with Roger Deakins a lot, so then their movies became pure visual
gold.
Yes, visual gold. Rogue One reshoots. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how like half the trailer wasn't even in the movie?
Yep.
We have a little explaining going on here. This is from Tony Gilroy. Tony Gilroy wrote and directed Michael Clayton. His brother wrote and directed Nightcrawler. And Roman Jisrael Esquire. Roman Jisrael Isk, which we've never seen. Gotta see that. Gotta see the Jisrael. Tony Gilroy was brought in as a script doctor, writer, fixer-upper for Rogue One. And then the rumor is that on the reshoots, he was brought in as essentially the director of the reshoots, pushing out Gareth Edwards. Mm-hmm. So here is Tony Gilroy now on the reshoots. I had never been interested in Star Wars ever, so I had no reverence for it whatsoever. I was unafraid about that, and they were in such a swamp. They were in so much terrible, terrible trouble that all you could do was improve their position. Damn.
Wow. That Damn. Bad.
That's how bad. Man, why? Ooh. What happened?
I don't know.
I want to see that movie. I want to see that. I want to see the fucked up one.
You
want to
see the swamp?
I want to see the swamp. I want to see the swamp.
Star Wars Rogue One. The swamp.
The swamp. The swamp cut. Release this. Hashtag release the swamp cut. Make that shit trend, yo. I do this just out of habit. I update every little bit of Terminator news.
Sweet.
Terminator 6. Produced by James Cameron, mm-hmm. to be directed by Tim Miller, director of the first Deadpool movie, getting pushed back to November 2019. Originally supposed to come out July of next year.
I mean, have they even started shooting it yet?
Have you even started shooting it yet? It's supposed to come out next summer.
Have they even started shooting it yet?
No.
Well, then fine, push it back. We have no one on board.
Yeah.
And we have a release date.
I think they have one.
We are fucked.
No, they do have some people on board. Linda Hamilton's coming back. Arnold Schwarzenegger is coming back. I think they're still looking for their John Connor. Mackenzie Davis, she's the one we've reported on, that the chick that's the main prostitute replicant from Blade Runner 2049, and then she's also Tully. Apparently on
And she's in Tully.
And she's in Tully, yes, exactly, which played at the Florida Film Festival last weekend. I did not get to see it.
Of course not.
And Halt and Catch Fire, she's on that show. So there you go. She's gonna be in it. But I got pushed back to November of next year. Maybe they have started shooting. I don't know. Look, shooting only takes like 6 months or so. It's the post-production that's the pain in the ass. Drew. Man, I don't know. This is like, it's out of the blue. Could you take a guess on what would be the most rented movie, the home rented movie of 2017, of last year? Right? Right? Look, it's a trick question because if you would think, what are the most popular movies of 2017? That would be big rentals. It's not a 2017 release.
Okay.
It's a movie from 2016. Okay. The most rented movie last year was Ben Affleck's The Accountant.
I mean, I'm of the opinion that that was the only movie that Ben Affleck was not acting in.
Because you think he's a dodo.
I almost guarantee it.
On the Curtis Earth Show, when I called it that, when he referred to him as Matt Damon's friend, he was like, "What's that movie?" Because we were talking about this movie, Hollywood Land, where he plays George Reeves, the guy who's Superman. He's like, "What's his name? Matt Damon's friend." And then we both said Ben Affleck at the same time. And then I said, "Buy me cocaine." Instead of buy me a Coke, I was like, I said, "Jinx, buy me cocaine." That's what I said. And then he was like, we'll pause for a second. Yeah, I was like, this is a joke. I don't really do Coke. It's just a radio joke. It's not even on the radio, man. The tower at Rollins is down.
So if you want to send Chris some cocaine.
If you want to send Chris some cocaine, email us at chrisdoeslotsofcoke@drewisthemanager.com. And we'll let you know where to send all that. Cocaine.
Cocaine.
That's a cocaine air horn. Cocaine horn. Ben Affleck's The Accountant was the most rented movie of 2017.
Really dumb.
Because people are Drew.
Really dumb.
Okay, I got the soundboard going. It's hot. My fingers.
Keep going. Come on.
What?
Gotta keep moving forward. How many of these stupid stories do we have?
Well, Drew, I pulled a story for you. This one's for you, buddy.
Okay.
All right. That's why it's right in the middle. So I can bring you back in. A little past the middle point. FX, they're killing it. Two of my favorite shows on TV right now are FX shows, Atlanta and Legion.
Yes.
And who knows? They may have a new favorite coming up soon. They have ordered it. The pilot is being produced. It is happening. Drew, get ready for why.
The Last Man. I heard about this.
You heard about this. There you go. Why The Last Man is in production.
It could be good. I mean, they've been killing it lately. So, you know.
Michael Green, one of the screenwriters on Logan, is writing the pilot and will serve as co-showrunner with Aida Mashaka Crowe. I'm sorry. A showrunner or writer from Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Okay.
So we got.
It's superhero. Not even superhero, just weird.
Just weird. Weird. Actually, these
weird,
are...
weird, gritty.
These are comic book characters who are put in things that aren't typically comic booky.
Exactly.
Logan is not a comic book movie.
No, exactly.
Jessica Jones, I mean, it's a P.I. They're going for noir. Luke Cage is going for black exploitation. Yeah. So why, obviously, what is it? Dystopian future?
Yeah, post-apocalypse.
Post-apocalypse, there you go. Yeah. Children of Men style.
Oh, yeah, everything.
Genetic disorder. Yeah, explain it to people.
At a certain point in time, everything with a Y chromosome, except for one dude, York Brown, and his monkey Ampersand, dies like immediately.
Ampersand,
yes,
that's so cute. for a minute there, this was being produced as a movie.
Shia LaBeouf was attached with it. Yeah,
to play Y, which could have been great, especially for that time period.
I mean, the story's there. If you've never read, the series is over. It's been done for a while. It's That was Brian K. Vaughan's BK. Break. That was hit.
BKV.
That was Brian K. Vaughan's breakout.
BKV.
So, you know, if you're interested in anything like that, I highly recommend reading it. It's good stuff.
There you go. Why The Last Man? Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. For for sure. It's, I hope it works. I hope it's successful.
Me too.
Sounds like a great idea. And
I mean, it's a good story.
And I like effects. But, you know, they don't have a great, perfect track record. A lot of their shows aren't very good. And some of them they cancel ahead of time, like the, we reported on this previously, Donald Glover's Deadpool animated show. They axed that.
Yep.
And he went on to Twitter to be like, yo, that's fucked up. We were working mad hard on it. Anyway, going back to the Cannes Film Festival, one of the directors who did get in this year, which is very exciting. I'm looking forward to this movie coming out. Spike Lee! We got a new Spike Lee joint.
Is it a Spike Lee joint?
It's a Spike Lee joint.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's a Spike Lee joint, Drew. You know what it's called? No, no you don't. You want to know what it's called? Yes, you do. It's called Black Klansman.
What?
Black Klansman, and the spelling, the stylistic spelling of it, is Black K Klansman with the three K's together. It's a telling of a true story. Ron Stallworth, a detective with the Colorado Springs Police Department, penetrated the highest levels of the KKK in the late 70s through extensive phone conversations and with help from a white officer who posed as him for meetings. Playing Stallworth is John David Washington. True.
As in Denzel?
Yes.
Son of?
Yes. Denzel Washington's son.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Cool. I mean, Denzel Washington has a child. He's trying to act. Can he?
Spike Lee is going to put him through the ringer to find out. Well, he already found out. The movie got accepted to the Cannes Film Festival. So, meanwhile, his partner, the one that infiltrates the actual Klan, Flip Zimmerman, the most like Klan-worthy name ever. I mean, ladies and gentlemen.
That's very white.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Whitey McWhiteface.
Whitey McWhiteface, Grand Wizard, Flip Zimmerman. Adam Driver. Which I like Adam. Yeah,
he's good.
I'm liking him. So, Topher Grace also in the movie somewhere, probably as a evil white guy. Yeah. Spike Lee put out the logo of the Black Klansman, like the little marketing logo on a hat. It's actually really, it's really cool. Look at that. It's it's black.
Yep.
And then like a hood. The A is a hood, and then another hood. Yep. So Black Klan hood. Yep. Black Klansman. Mm-hmm. That's pretty. It's a cool looking logo. All right, so here we go. Westworld, coming back. Season 2.
Dose.
Yes. Shogun World. All the samurai. Shogun. We're going to learn how to say Shogun pretty soon.
Awesome.
Apparently Shogun's not it, but we're going to learn.
Fine.
Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, co-runners, co-creators, co-writers on this show, who apparently, I just found this out reading this fucking article, also married. Did not know that. They were interviewed about the show, so here we go. Here's a Jonathan Nolan quote. Part of the reason we're going to Shogun World instead of... Oh, you remember...
At the end, when they broke...
Oh, yes.
They were breaking through. They went into the Shogun World.
Yeah, they went through, like, the setup they had for all the samurai stuff. I was gonna say, you remember watching the movie.
Yeah.
And they had... So, most of it is Westworld.
Yeah, but they said, we also have...
Roman World and Medieval World. Mm-hmm. Roman World, you can be in togas and eat grapes.
Exactly.
And have sex with robots. And then in Medieval World, you wear armor and eat grapes and have sex with robots.
Pretty much no matter what world you're going to, you're going to be having sex
with robots. Westworld, though, those grapes were dusty. Those are dusty
grapes.
Yeah,
they were. So was the pussy.
Oh, that was some dusty. That's some dusty pussy you got there. So weird. Why does it get so weird all of a sudden? God, it made it weird. Jonathan Nolan, brother of Christopher, says part of the reason we're going to Shogun World instead of Roman World or Medieval World is yes, you saw those in the original film, but also if you're doing a theme park, you wouldn't limit it to the Western European or North American experience. You try to reach a global audience. So the idea here is that you have textual blah blah blah. Just the idea of appealing to a wider audience.
That's fine, I tell you.
And it makes sense. Yeah. You know, why not, right? Lisa Joy says, for me, it's also personal. I grew up in Asia, and I remember as a little kid being in Taiwan, watching films there, and being so awed by these new worlds of entertainment. You saw new talents with the actors, new fighting styles, new types of wardrobe. It was exhilarating. So we looked at to our department heads to make sure we had the full throw of exploring Shogun World, researching hair, production design, costume, etc., etc., etc. So expect a very heavy Japanese slant on Westworld Season 2.
You just said Japanese slant. It's that I bring that up.
If you have complaints about anything Chris Cochran says that, send that to Chris does a lot of cocaine at drewisthemanager.com. With those complaints, send cocaine.
Lots of it, please. Got a lot of work to do.
But, like, not that stepped on shit, guys. All the baby aspirin and the diuretics. And I've had enough diarrhea for this month. I keep eating that Tementi gelato.
You'll know if it's been cut with baby laxative. Because you'll do a line and then immediately think to yourself, I have to poo.
Immediately?
Immediately. Dude, you're snorting it. It's going straight to your fucking brain. Yeah, immediately. I guess if you're super constipated, probably the best way to do it would just to snort the motherfucker.
I'm just saying.
Whoa!
Okay, now it's apparent between the two of us for listeners, the one with the actual cocaine experience is now evident.
It's me, yeah.
No longer a mystery. Now evident. Uh-huh. So actually, which one is just faking it? Faking it to be cool. And which one has
it
the actual experience?
It doesn't make you cool, Chris.
No, man. In talk radio, it's like it sounds cool. It's like, yo, I'm a party animal, bro. But then you end up at a live event and listeners start palming you drugs. You're like, oh, no. I got to drive home tonight. What if I get pulled over?
Hey, if anybody ever palms you drugs, you just palm those drugs straight to me.
It depends on what the drugs are. If they're powdery drugs, well, actually, isn't DMT a powder?
Yeah, it is.
If you have DMT, email us, cinemacrestmanisa@gmail.com. That's for real. That's for real.
Totes.
I'm trying to see God here.
I would love to meet God. I'm
trying to escape this. I'm trying to escape this prison that we're in. You know?
Trying to break out of the Matrix, Chris.
I gotta do it somehow. High Fidelity. Are you a fan of High Fidelity?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it a couple times. I'm not like a super fan.
They're bringing it back as a TV show.
Interesting.
But it's Disney who's doing it. Disney TV. So it's gonna be like a.
It's gonna be like a watered down version.
Yes. So even as like a mild fan, Drew, what do you think?
Lame.
Right. You know who else thinks it's lame? Huh. On Twitter, at John Cusack. Someone asking about it, he says, of course they want to brand their thing with our thing. They'll fuck it up. Winky face emoticon. Not an emoji guy. Still sticking with the emoticons. It's very 2008 of John Cusack. But yeah, Disney will fuck it up. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Or at least for Disney TV.
Mm-hmm.
We teased it earlier, Taika Waititi. It's got a couple movies in the works. One of them was, we talked about this, Jojo Rabbit. Remember that one? It's a World War II movie?
Yes.
Apparently, Taika Waititi is going to play... So the lead character is a kid, and they're hiding a Jewish person, I think a Jewish lady. It's kind of an Anne Frank type scenario, hiding a Jewish person in their house. The mom's hiding it. There's a kid. The main character is a kid. He's seeing an imaginary friend, played by Taika Waititi, who is a mix of his dead father, the child's dead father, and Adolf Hitler.
So it's going to be Taika Waititi with a Hitler mustache.
Yes. Playing a half... Not Hitler, half Hitler. I don't know how that's going to work.
He's just going to be wearing... I'm letting you know right now. It's just going to be Taika Waititi with a Hitler mustache.
Which I'm fine with.
That's going to be the extent of the costuming.
Which I'm fine with. I'm fine with that.
And you know what? Now I really want to see in the movie.
Real quick. I know, right? There you go. I'm trying to hook you on some Taika Waititi. Jojo Rabbit. It's going to come out. We're going to talk a little bit more real quick.
Trying to hook me. I've already seen most of his...
I know. You're into it. You're into Taika. We're cool. We're all cool on Taika. Related note. Today is hashtag National Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Worldwide Holocaust Remembrance Day? I don't know. Someone released a study that says a surprising amount of Americans have very little, like, actual factual knowledge of the Holocaust, like, in terms of how many people died. A great many of Americans underestimate by a lot how many people died during the Holocaust. Most Americans, a majority of them, that by over 50%, can't name a single concentration camp. There were 40,000 concentration camps, which is insane, and not a single one can even say Auschwitz.
I was about to say...
It's a fucking Slayer song.
I was about to say, Auschwitz is probably the most well-known concentration camp of them all.
It's ridiculous, and a lot of people can't name them, but on the only positive thing from this survey, Drew, is that... And you know how people are like very upfront about their bigotry and their hatred, mm-hmm. and in these surveys, it's surprising how many people are like, you know, no, Obama is a Kenyan Muslim, etc. 96% of American respondents believe the Holocaust happened.
Well, it's good because it did.
Right. But what I'm saying is, even with such little factual knowledge, and with we are down to so few people who lived during that time period, you know, they're all going to be gone pretty soon, which is a big deal. It's still, like, thank God that Holocaust denial is, like, it's still such a small percentage, because when that number starts going up, dude.
Well, that is for another one.
Yes. Right.
So everybody can remember again.
And in this country, as a racial minority, I would like that to not happen.
Because
obviously, the Jewish people were, like, the predominant target of the Holocaust, but people forget about the people. It was just non-Germans.
Chris, by the time it gets around to that point in time, you will not be the racial minority.
No. No, that's not true. As a Latin, North American, Puerto Rican American, however you want to put that shit, I will still be a small percentage of the overall pie. White people, the whites in general, won't be over 50%. We're still talking like 49%. How much of a percent you need to run shit?
Not very many.
Not very many for a while, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, but reparations are happening over there. You hear about that?
No.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
White farmers and, like, landowners are having their land seized by the government and handed over to black families.
Good.
Yes. Like, straight-up reparations are happening. And whites are freaking out over there.
Because you want to know how the white people got that land?
They stole
that
shit.
By doing the exact same thing.
So they're just writing it wrong. They're just putting things back the way they were.
Yes.
Yeah.
The way it should have been.
Isn't that crazy? The sins of the father will be passed on to the children.
Yes.
It will. They will. Uh-huh.
Correct.
So, thank God my dad's just a working man.
Shit.
Yeah, you're that too. Just trying to get by, man. That's all. Taika Waititi. He has Jojo Rabbit. He also has something else that he's working on. But at the same time, right now, he is working with Warner Brothers on the live-action Akira. Taika Waititi's Akira. Yes, Drew. Think about that. Your eyebrows went up. You're thinking about this. You're actively thinking about Taika Waititi's Akira. One of the things he said that he's going to do is, for a while, Akira, they were developing a new, I don't know who was doing it, but they went from Neo Tokyo to Neo Manhattan, an Americanized white cast. Mm-hmm. Waititi's like, nope, going back to Neo Tokyo and Asian teenagers. All he's going to find, like, unknown people. He is now, in his most recent quote here, is saying, I haven't really started to get my head, should I say in his voice? I really haven't started to get my head around it yet. The Kiwi accent is fun to say.
It is.
What I wanted to do... I'm not gonna do it. It's a long fucking quote. What I wanted to do was an adaptation of the books, because a lot of people are like, don't touch that film. I'm like, I'm not remaking the film. I want to go back to the book. And then he just goes on to explain that Akira is six manga books long. It is a gigantic story. And the movie itself, I think it's mostly contained in the first few books. It's not even the whole thing.
Mm.
The reason why it works is because the guy who wrote it takes up six mangas. He didn't write it as six mangas, but the guy who wrote all that shit also wrote the original movie. So that's
That's why it works, because he condensed his own story.
Yeah, he knew he knew what to keep and what not to keep.
Yeah.
And even then, plenty of people out there. Stephen King, immediate example. Maximum Overdrive, immediate example of someone, a writer, doing his own thing, still fucking it up. But that can be explained by cocaine. Seriously,
yes.
Stephen King doesn't remember making Maximum Overdrive because of cocaine.
Good for him.
He's very.
That's fine.
He's probably upfront about that.
It's probably better for him that he doesn't remember.
It probably is better, because then he would have to explain his decisions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now he can just say cocaine.
Yeah.
A lot of cocaine talking in this episode, but that's factual though.
So wanna go get some cocaine, Chris?
I do. Where can we get some, Drew? Do you have any ideas? Our drug dealer left.
Him.
Our medicine man. The medicine man can get us some cocaine.
Him. It's expensive though. It's not that good.
See, well then I don't want it. I don't want to poop. Can we get immediately poop and have an excited poop? That sounds boring.
I don't know any good stuff. I don't know where to get any good stuff.
I gotta get that DMT, man. You get in touch about them chocolates? What with the other guy?
No, I didn't. No.
Not interested in the chocolates? You're fine on the chocolates?
I'm cool.
People don't even know. They think they know what kind of chocolate I'm talking about. They don't know.
They don't know.
They have no idea. They have no idea, Drew. We just like to have fun here in America. Shout out to all our European, Japanese listeners, Australian listeners, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe they like to get fucked up over there, too.
Hey, if you'd like to get fucked up, email us at cinemacrespiso@gmail.com and send us your Getting Fucked Up stories. And we'll read them on a bonus episode that'll be entitled Getting Fucked Up, but with an asterisk as the U. So iTunes, Apple Podcasts doesn't flag us.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan-Michael Key, in an interview, someone asked him about used promoting one thing, but someone couldn't help and say, hey, what's going on with the Predator?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in the Predator.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped this little nugget. Apparently, Drew, the entire third act of the Predator got reshot. Speaking of reshoots, remember Rogue One?
Mm-hmm.
The entire third act got reshot.
Mm.
This is Keegan-Michael Key. We just finished reshoots last week, and just about three quarters of the third act was rewritten. Excuse me, three quarters of it, not the whole thing. Shane Black he's just a consummate professional. He's a consummate writer. He's a wordsmith. It was really, really exhilarating experience, and I think that he's still one of our most vibrant writers of cinema. So in there, while he's talking of Shane Black, he talks about how the reshoots was all about changing the third act. That's crazy.
Let's see.
Also, you know what happened? Maybe partly because of the reshoots, maybe because Fox now has less faith in the movie. It was supposed to come out August of next summer, 2019. It now got pushed to the middle of September, September 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no longer a big summer event film.
Mm-hmm.
It is now a little September release.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't exactly bode well for a quality. Maybe Fox just doesn't know what they have. You know what else came out in the middle of September? Dread.
I'm about to say, fucking, I mean, not that Dread made any money, but goddamn, people are stupid.
No, because it came out in the first 2 weeks of September are a dead zone. You have Labor Day, you have schools back in session, you have so many things going on, vacations are over.
Yeah.
It is a terrible time to release movies that you expect to make a lot of money. Dread should have had a massive marketing campaign and should have come out like at least middle of July.
Yeah.
At least the middle of July. Now
people would have gone bonkers.
God, it's so good.
Chris, you don't have to tell me. I've seen it.
All right, here we go. Let's wrap it up. Last story. Hobbs and Shaw is happening. The spinoff movie for Fast and Furious featuring Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham. They have their director.
So is Vin Diesel all butthurt about it?
He is butthurt about it. He's going to be even more butthurt when this movie ends up being better than all of the other fucking Fast and Furious movies.
And when it's on par with the money, too.
Yes, like, when Jake makes just as much money with a fraction of the cast.
He's going to be so pissed.
I'm sorry. He just took like the best element of their movie and made it its own movie. Drew, you know who's directing it now? This guy is killing it in terms of lineup gigs. Man.
Who is it?
Man, John Wick is giving us a plethora of goods. David Leitch is going from Atomic Blonde to Deadpool 2 to Hobbs and Shaw.
Very nice.
That's fucking crazy. That's fucking crazy.
Leaps and bounds.
That's fucking crazy. That is crazy. I mean... Goddamn, yeah. Is that something? And
but hey, at least we know the fight scenes are going to look great.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to look the action scenes themselves.
It's going to be so fucking raw.
They're going to be, we'll see with Deadpool 2, but the action scenes are just going to be, I mean, no offense to Justin Lin or F. Gary Gray, but...
you guys aren't him.
Have you guys seen Atomic Blonde and John Wick?
Because that's some next level shit right there.
Yeah, Deadpool 2 is about to blow people's fucking tits off. It's going to be...
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I
haven't even seen that new trailer. I still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
You look away now?
I look away.
I keep looking away for that Hereditary trailer. They keep showing it, man. They're pushing it hard. They believe in it.
They are.
I'm excited for it.
I follow A24 on Facebook, and they've been pushing it, too.
Fuck yeah, they have been. That's going to be a big deal for them. I'm looking forward to it. But I saw that trailer that one time, and I barely remember it now. Something about fire and like tiny little figurines.
There's fire. There's ants. There's...
And then, like an incest child or some sort of weird, like wide-eyed
and
kid.
And she likes to go...
Yeah, that was great, Lady Raptastic of Andrew Sikogwin, and that's how she finishes every episode. Man, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be scary shit, I hope.
Yeah, me too, I hope so. I need something to really scare me. A Quiet Place didn't really scare me. It was tense, but
no, yeah.
It didn't really get me. Not like that lady, it was like, oh, screaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was jealous of that lady. Like, she really felt the fear.
Yeah.
I wanted to feel the fear. I've yet to feel the fear, I mean, outside of, like, just in life in general. You know, general fear and loathing in capital F, capital L.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
I feel the fear almost every day. Yeah, that's life.
Yeah.
The fear of the sack coming down on top of me, that's life in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I've yet to feel, like, the manufactured fear of a movie in a long time. I think 28 Days Later may have been the last time I was like, oh, my God.
I think the last time I was genuinely scared in a movie was... Event Horizon, when I was a kid.
That was forever ago.
That movie scared the shit out of me,
but
Chris.
But nothing since then. I never saw that in the theater. That would scare the shit out of me, too. As a kid.
Not that actually, like, brought, like, real fear real to fear. Me.
20 days
in
later.
In the theater. We're like, I'm in the theater, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I could leave right now and not have to watch this.
like
I haven't gotten that feeling.
Like
since.
I'm, like I watch it between my fingers. Like, man, I'm scared of what's going to happen next. Yeah. What am I about to see? That I haven't felt that since 28 days later, which I was like 19, 20, maybe 19. And then I took my brother to see it with me, and he was like 13. So he was freaked the fuck out. He was so scared.
That's some real stuff.
That was great. That was great.
That's
for
some
him.
Real shit.
That was awesome for him. But then the last time I've watched a movie and felt dread, not fear, but dread, as like anything can fucking happen, is when we saw at the Aloma Cinema Grill, and the theater was like pretty much empty. It was just you, me, and Matt, and like some people in the back. The Planet Terror.
Hmm.
Like during that movie, because also we showed like high as a kite. I remember specifically this one. There's a handful of movies I remember, like just the experience really being enhanced by the consumption of our ticket. I'm talking about weed, guys. Yeah. And
we were annihilated. Yeah. And we got a couple of pictures of beer, too.
I wouldn't say annihilated, but I was high as fuck. And we were drinking beer. Yeah, so I'm sitting there sipping a beer, like up close on that screen. And like I remember watching that movie and being like, really uncomfortable. It's like anything can happen in this movie, and it can be horrifying, not necessarily scary, but just like really off-putting. And there were like things with needles and goo.
I mean, for
and
me,
like popping eyeballs.
See, for me, it was the opposite. It was Death Proof that got me. The scene where she's on the fucking hood of the car
and they're
racing like the entire time. Yeah. I am on the edge of my seat, like, oh my god, she's gonna fall. Yeah. Oh my god, she's gonna fall. No, she's gonna fall. Oh my god, she's gonna fall.
Yeah, because there's no way to fake that.
No.
Like you can put straps on her, but she's on the hood of a car.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're driving at least like 30 miles.
Yeah,
an hour,
yeah.
At the minimum, 25, 30. You can fake speed in a movie pretty.
Oh
well.
No, yeah. You'd be surprised how fast it looks.
Yeah, with the right angle, and you can fake it, but so the hood stuff, but man, that's like, man, that movie was like, people were really dumb audiences. We're gonna end this one. They dropped the ball on Planet Terror when you had a movie by Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino, plus a bunch of fake trailers for the price of one movie ticket, and none of you went and saw it. That movie made $20 million in theaters. $20 million, Drew. Yeah. You know how many movies come out that make A Quiet Place just made 50 in 3 days?
Yeah.
Two movies!
Yeah.
You guys blew it big time.
To hell, that they even turned one of the trailers into
an actual movie. That's correct, Drew.
Machete.
I got a goddamn sequel. You people fucking blew it. Drew and I, we nailed it. We were at the Aloma Cinema Grill with pitchers of beer. We killed it.
We grindhoused it. Yeah, Aloma Cinema Grill's a shithole. It was a great place to watch those movies.
It was a perfect fucking place to see it. That was amazing. You guys blew it. So there we go. That's the end of the episode. Drew Sakai, where can people find you?
At Antihero419, some places on the internet.
And hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com for stickers and PFTD.
PFTD? What the hell's a tedia?
It's my new company. I'm breaking off.
PFTD?
Don't tell Steve.
I won't. Don't worry. It has nothing to do with media, right?
No. I am weaponizing tedium. I'm going to weaponize it.
Okay.
And sell it to the government.
Okay.
PFTDium.com.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be bad. I'm going to destroy the world with boredom.
I mean, as long as it's profitable.
For me. No, it's going to be great for me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And you know what? You're my friend. For you too.
Awesome.
You're good. I'll take care of you. You won't have to be inflicted with the tedium. The tedium. All right, enough of the soundboard. Guys, PFT Media Magnets. You can get them if you email me, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Peace.
A PFT Media production.